Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
This particular Sunday, being the last Sunday of the year, is an incredibly significant Sunday because it's kind of an in-between Sunday. It's a Sunday where we celebrate what has been, but we also stand in anticipation of what will be. And we're not quite in the new year yet, but you know, we're not living in the old in the previous year either. So we're kind of in between. And I think it's really vital that we finish the year strong, because how we finish the year will determine how we start the year. And to that end, I think today is actually, I feel, going to be one of the most important sermons that I've preached this year. And so I'm really glad that you're here today. And I'm also prepared for church today across all our locations to get a little messy. Because I think sometimes we come to like the last Sunday of the year church service and we feel like that we can tick that box. My prayer for you is that you'll stay present in this sermon. Stay present with what God wants to do today. Because I really feel like God wants to get personal with us. Is that okay? Come on, all our different locations. Are we ready for God to get personal? Amen. Amen. So we're going to hit up the account of Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read a fair bit of Bible today. Is that okay? For those of you that are not familiar with the character of Abraham in the Bible, we're first introduced to him, and his name is Abram before he changed it to Abraham. He is 75 years old when we are introduced to him. When we first discover him in scripture, his wife Sarah was 65 and they weren't able to have children, and that was the desire of their heart, but they weren't able to have kids. And we know that as we read the Bible that Abraham is credited as being a father of faith. And so when you think about faith as a revelation, as a construct, as an idea in the Bible, Abraham is synonymous with that. He was a man who had great faith, who believed God for a breakthrough at a time when it all seemed impossible. He was the man that held on to the words and the promises of God. But I actually want to go a layer further. Before we step into 2026 and start to believe in faith for all that God is going to do for us, I want to take us a step back, maybe to the prequel of Abraham's formation as a person of faith. Is that okay? We're going to read Genesis chapter 12, and this is the first introduction to Abram/Abraham. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." It's not very specific, is it? It's like, leave your home. I'm not going to tell you where, but just do it. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." In other words, Abraham knew exactly what God was talking about. For him to be a great nation, for a nation to come out of him, he needed to have lineage or descendants. I don't know about you, but if I was Abraham, I'd be incredibly doubtful right about now. But the Bible then goes on to tell us in Genesis 12 verse 8 that Abraham moved from there. So he actually obeyed. He moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar. Say, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Today, at this final Sunday of the year, on the eve of our new year, I want to unpack this thought with you, and it's simply this: living your life on the altar. Living your life on the altar. Can we give the band a big hand? Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you so much, worship teams across all our locations as well. Wonderful. So here is Abraham, and he receives the promise of God to have a child. It's a wild promise. Think about it. 75 years old. How many of you here are 75 and you've just recently had a child? Nobody. Nobody. He's 75 years old, right? And God comes to this childless couple, and they're already waiting a long time. And nevertheless, this promise of God, and a spectacular one at that, was something that Abraham was really waiting for. He'd been believing for. Now, the thing that piqued my interest the most is that the 75-year-old man, if he was indeed a great man of faith, would have surely then done an act of faith. Think about it for a moment. If God comes to a 75-year-old man and says to you, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations, a nation's going to come out of you, you're going to have lineage." If he was a man of faith, he would have done an act of faith. He would have built a nursery. He would have built a cot. But can I suggest to you that before Abraham built a cot, he built an altar. Before Abraham believed and stepped into faith, he actually walked in surrender. Can I suggest to you today that whatever it is that you're believing for in 2026, I love the fact that you're going to walk in faith, but I'm here as your pastor to step you into your first step before you build a cot, build an altar. Come on, somebody. And here is Abraham and Sarah. Genesis chapter 12, we're first introduced to him. There's a lot of stuff that happens between Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 21 when Isaac is finally born. Now catch this. Abraham was 100 years old before Isaac was born. So it was a 25-year wait. Can I ask everyone in Myri and everyone on the stream today, did God make you wait in 2025 for a promise that is not yet fulfilled? And are you still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled? Put your hand up if that's you. Well, you're in good company. I'm here to remind you today that God's delays are not His denials. Maybe you're here at the end of 2025 and you're carrying a sense of disappointment. You're carrying, and you're going, I'm going to reload again in faith that God, you know, you promised me good health, God, you promised me whatever it is that you're believing for. I want to encourage you that it is 100% biblically accurate to stand in faith for the promises that are yet to be fulfilled, but it is also very correct to build an altar before you build a cot. It is 100% biblically correct to surrender first before you walk in faith. What does Genesis chapter 12 all the way through to Genesis chapter 21 of the story of Abraham teach us? It teaches us that before Abraham was a father of faith, he was first a man of surrender. And I want to suggest to you today that before we step into all that God has for us in 2026, and before I, as your pastor, lead you into great faith, I feel in God that I need to lead you to build an altar. I need to lead you to live a life of constant surrender before God. I wonder what our year would be like if we finished 2025 with surrender before we started 2026 in faith. I wonder what it would be like if we started 2026 building an altar before acting or stepping out in faith, because I think Abraham unlocked something very special, very powerful in the Bible that will give us some keys to being men and women of faith. You see, my suspicion is that if you don't have a surrendered heart, you're not going to be able to handle the promises when they become fulfilled. My suspicion is that if you don't build an altar, you're not going to be able to handle what happens when you fill that cot. Oh, you guys aren't getting this. See, if we all believe in faith for all the great things that God's going to do for us, and imagine if God actually gave us all of the things we're believing for, my question to you is, will you be able to handle it? That answer is predetermined by whether right now you've built an altar before you built your cot. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because we see this account of Abraham, and 40 years later in Genesis chapter 22 now, we think it's about 40 years later, but it's an account of when Isaac was probably about 15, maybe 16, 17, 18 years old. So it could be 40, 41, 42, 43 years later after the Genesis chapter 12 account of God saying to Abraham, I want you to leave your home, and Abraham built an altar. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass after these things. What are these things? It's all the 40 years of stuff, of the journey of believing God and the whole sidetrack with Hagar and Ishmael. After all these things came to pass, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. God likes to rub some things in, doesn't he? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Can you imagine Abraham trying to explain this to Sarah? Honey, I got to take our son on a trip. Look, if Sarah was like any other wife I know, there'd be 1,000 questions Abraham's got to answer right about now. You know what I'm talking about? Where are you going? When are you coming back? Why are you taking the knife? What's with all the wood? Have you got a jacket for Isaac? Have you got mobile reception up there? You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like 1,000 questions. Genesis 22, verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. If that's not going to freak Sarah out, I don't know what will. Even along the journey, the penny dropped for Isaac. He even asked his dad, Dad, we're going up to Mount Moriah, and it looks like I'm carrying a lot of wood. Where's the lamb? Where is the animal that we're going to offer as a burnt offering? And Abraham said this, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Two of them went together. God himself will provide a burnt offering, a lamb. Notice how Abraham assured his son with something that God didn't even assure him with. He goes up to Mount Moriah. And the reason why Abraham goes up unquestioningly, taking his son up to Moriah, is because he had already built an altar before his son was born. Genesis chapter 22, then they came to the place of which God had told him, Mount Moriah, and Abraham built an altar there. Are you catching this? He had no problem building an altar in Genesis chapter 22 because he had already built an altar in Genesis chapter 12. Already with a promise in hand, but yet unfulfilled fully because Isaac was just a young man at the time, maybe a teenager. There was a lot of life left to live. We haven't properly seen Isaac fulfill his full promise of having children of his own so that a great nation could come out of Abraham. And yet it says Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on at the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear or you reverence God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What am I saying? I'm saying that everything you might be believing God for in 2026 starts by you surrendering everything to him at the end of 2025. You don't know how 2026 is going to play out. And yes, I want to stand in faith for all the things that you're believing for in terms of breakthrough in your family, in terms of breakthrough in your health, in terms of prosperity, in terms of some of you believing to buy a house next year. I want to stand with you on all of those accounts, but I'd rather stand with you fully knowing you've already built an altar before you build a cot. I want to stand with you in faith fully knowing, church, that you are already surrendered and living your life on that said altar before I stand with you in faith for all that God wants to do for you next year. You know, this whole idea of surrender, it just sounds so nebulous. It's so Christianese, isn't it? And I think sometimes the reason why we struggle so much with the idea of surrendering things to God is because I think sometimes we confuse sacrifice with surrender. Can I teach that? Sometimes we confuse sacrifice with surrender. We approach Christianity with a sacrifice mindset. We feel like whenever God asks something from us, it feels like we have to sacrifice. We have this sacrifice mindset. I've got to let something that is mine get on the altar, and I don't want to because it's sacrificial. Do you understand that? We have this sacrifice mindset, but I want to assure you that as New Testament believers, God doesn't want your sacrifice, he wants your surrender. And I want to teach that because this is going to radically transform how you posture your heart in 2026. God did not ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. That's a wrong way of reading Genesis 12 to 22. What God was asking from Abraham was to surrender Isaac. Because God was never asking Abraham to kill his own son. God was not into child sacrifice. Come on. Do you understand that? What was God testing? He was not testing Abraham's faith. He was not even testing Abraham's capacity to sacrifice what was his. God was testing Abraham's ability to build an altar and to surrender, to live his life on that altar. And the account of Abraham and Isaac was a foretelling picture of what was to come. Do you understand that according to scripture, there was God's intention, there was only ever going to be one father sacrificing one son. Hebrews chapter 7 reminds us that Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all. It was never God's intention for anyone to sacrifice, because Jesus was the once and for all sacrifice. Do you understand that? So as New Testament believers, the whole principle of sacrificing, I feel like I gotta sacrifice my Sundays to come to church. Oh, I gotta sacrifice a tenth of my income to tithe. Oh, I gotta sacrifice some time to that's a broken mentality. God doesn't want you to sacrifice, he wants you to build an altar. He wants you to live a surrendered life. And Isaac's moment on the altar in Genesis chapter 22 was a foretelling account that prophesies into the New Testament age today that God is not after your sacrifice. He wants a life of surrender. And I think the thing that kills so much of our fruitfulness every year, and even many ways kills our faith, is this confusion between sacrifice and surrender. This sacrifice thing it's transactional. It's self-focused. Sacrifice's premise is that something has to be given up or taken away from you. And that's only going to end you up in one of two places. So that if you have a sacrificial mindset, a sacrifice mindset, when God actually does bless you, you attribute that to the fact that I sacrificed greatly. You'll only ever be self-righteous if that's happened. Or if you sacrifice and God doesn't play your game and doesn't give you what you asked for, you start to deconstruct and go, well, Christianity doesn't work, does it? You can see how this way of greeting your faith or framing your faith only ever leads to self-righteousness or blaming God. Come on, somebody. But the heart to build an altar to surrender simply says, God, everything I have is yours. My whole life is yours. I'm going to finish 2025 building an altar, because everything that I've experienced this year, that's all yours. And everything that I'm going to experience when I step into 2026 is all yours anyway. I surrender it all. When you live with a sacrifice mindset, you will eventually resent what you feel you are sacrificing, or you feel entitled to getting more from God. Neither is going to lead you to life. That's why sometimes I hear even in married couples, eventually someone hits that brick wall in marriage and go, I've sacrificed so much for my kids. I've sacrificed so much for my husband and his career. No more. See how that leads to resentment? There is no life in sacrifice, because one sacrifice was all that was required, and that's already been fulfilled. And that sacrifice of Jesus invites us not to have more temporary, smaller bits of sacrifice. It invites us to a life of surrender. This is the framework I want you to have to start the year. Religion demands sacrifice, but grace invites surrender. Live in grace. Live in the grace of God. Jesus did away with our need to sacrifice, but on the cross, he invites us to live surrendered. That's my prayer for our church as we end 2025. Posture yourself in 2026 saying, God, everything that I'm believing for, I lay at the altar today. I'm laying it all at the altar today. It's all yours. It's always been yours. You know, and the difference between, are you guys getting something out of this? Yeah, and the difference between that sacrifice mindset and the surrendered heart is this question: who is Lord over my life? It will feel forever sacrificial to you if you are the Lord of your own life. I gotta give up a bit of my time, sacrifice that for church on the Sunday. I'll give up a bit of my time, my own, you know, time on the weekend, or I'm gonna sacrifice that. It feels sacrificial when you are the Lord of your own life. But when he is Lord of your life, it's all yours anyway, God. It's a complete life of surrender. Abraham had no problems building an altar and putting Isaac on it in Genesis chapter 22 because before Isaac was even born in Genesis chapter 12, he had already built one. Yeah. I know the promise has come. I know you've promised like a great nation is going to come out of me. But the very first thing I'm going to do, God, I'm not going to build a cot in eager anticipation for what I'm going to get from you. I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to live a life of surrender. I'm going to live a life where I'm saying, God, everything that I have is yours. See, you won't be able to surrender your life or any part of your life if you still think that you're the Lord of it, or at least a Lord of some of it. So my question to you at the end of this year, as we look to the start of 2026, what's your Isaac today? What part of your life, if not all of it, that you struggle to build an altar to lay him on? Getting real quiet now. Belmont, hopefully you're making some noise. Because it's real quiet in my ear. Paul Kennedy, I hope you're making some noise. Because it's real quiet in my ear. Is your Isaac finances? Well, like, I don't know, the wood, the knife, I'm not sure, you know. I know many of you are believing for financial breakthrough. I know some of you have already, God, I can picture the house we're going to buy next year. I want to stand with you on that. But I want to stand with you, hopefully, not at the altar of sacrifice, but at the altar of surrender. Is your Isaac relationships? Are your relationships at the altar of surrender? I know many of you are believing for breakthrough in your relationships, but can I say this to some single people? Before you walk down the altar of marriage, come on, build an altar of surrender. Because if you don't build the altar of surrender before you walk down the altar, let's ring that marriage counselor now. Trust me, I've been married 25 years. Surrender. Is your Isaac your career? Your business, your ambitions? See, I'm here to remind you today that God's not asking you to sacrifice any of it. He's just asking you to lay it down. He's not asking you to give it up. He's asking you to lay it down. Do you understand? There's a difference. Well, what do you need to surrender? Is it your health, your marriage, your ministry, your status, your need for affirmation, your need for love, your need for acknowledgement, your need for significance? What's your Isaac? We all have a thing. God doesn't want to take anything from you. That's a wrong mentality. He wants you to surrender it so the thing you think God wants to take from you doesn't own you. He's asking you to lay it down so the thing you think God is asking you to give up doesn't take you. You guys getting real quiet. God wanted Abraham to have Isaac. He didn't want Isaac to have Abraham. This is too deep for some of y'all on the last Sunday. He wants you to have money. He doesn't want money to have you. He wants you to have great relationships. He doesn't want this whole relational drama stuff of life to have you. Come on. He wants you to have a career or a successful business, but he doesn't want those things to have you. Build an altar. He wants, actually, his desire is, we all claim that phrase, that verse, all your promises are yes, and the amen spoken by us. We all want to say amen to faith, but we don't always want to build an altar before we receive those promises. Come on, somebody, you're getting real quiet. Right? And the thing you need to understand is that surrender is not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. You haven't got a God in heaven up there going, see, they're all surrendering to me. I'm the man. He's saying, I see you. I see all the things you want. I see all the things you're praying for. I read all the prayer requests, God is saying. I read them all. The online ones and the ones you handwrite. I see them all. But before I fulfill any of those, you are at your best when you're surrendered to it all. You are at your best when you are surrendered to it all. Is that helpful to you guys? You live your best life as a surrendered person. Build an altar, before you build a cot. Is that helpful to you guys? Can we give God a big shout of praise? I'm preaching myself happy today. Is that okay? For those of you that don't know the context, I usually preach 2 services on a Sunday morning. I'm only preaching once. I'm putting all my eggs in this one basket. Is that okay? I'm preaching myself happy. Well, there are barriers to building an altar, don't you think? Like, I know sometimes just reading scripture like that, go, Abraham, awesome, so surrendered, built an altar, fantastic. We're cheering him on, right? We think we can do that too. But I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm like, this is really full on. This is a really hard thing. Building altars of surrender are really hard. The first thing that God says, like, we're not introduced to Abraham at all. Suddenly, we're introduced to God's words to him. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, like, who is Abraham? I don't know. It's like this brand new character now bursts on the scene. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I reckon there are some barriers to building an altar. And I reckon the first barrier to building an altar is comfort. The first thing God says to Abraham, I know you're 75 years old. You're very established in your community. All your family loves you. All your connections are there. I want you now to suddenly leave. Go. And I'm not going to tell you where. It's just a land that I'll show you down the line. Just go. I don't know about you. If I was Abraham, I'd be asking a million questions. Where am I going? Where am I going to live? Do they have Wi-Fi there? What job am I going to do? Right? Like, what Sarah, would Sarah won't have any friends there? Like, I'm really connected to my church and my connect group. Like, what? Why? Where? Tell me where. I need to know where, right? We can only build an altar of surrender when we're willing to part with the comfort of familiarity. Second barrier to building an altar is our love for certainty. You'll never build an altar until in your own heart you got to be okay with uncertainty. You guys getting real quiet? Why? Because surrendering all means I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I don't know what my life's like. I don't know what it's going to look like when I pitch a tent there and like it's the east of IE and then the west of Bethel and all these different directions. I'm going to travel south still. I don't know where I'm going. But you've got to break up with certainty if you're going to build an altar. But I reckon the third and possibly in our modern day vernacular, the greatest barrier to building an altar or living a life of surrender, living your life on the altar, is this thing called control. The thing that we all have, but we don't want to admit that we got it. I don't know about you, but in our generation, we're the cats that idolize control. Like my parents are like early first generation baby boomers, right? Chrissy's parents, like wartime. Like they weren't responsible for the life we live now. Us Gen Xers and older, we're the ones that invented the remote control. We're the ones that make climate control. We're the ones that came up with quality control. We're the ones that came up with traffic control. We're the ones that came up with cruise control. We love to control everything. We invented the thing. And PK, now you're preaching about building an altar? See, you can only build an altar when you break up with control. And for so many of us, this is the thing. I see it time and it's happened in my life. We go through the same year, the same way, not much progress in God, not much breakthrough like we did in 2023 and like we did in 2017 and like we did in 2009, like we did in 2001. Why? Because every year we find new ways to control the narrative, to control the outcome, to control how things are going. But I'm here to suggest to you today, until we break up with surrender, we're never going to build an altar. Come on, somebody. Because control's a lie. Control tells you that you're in control. You ever been married, had kids? You ever just lived some life? And you tried to control? How did that work out for you? I'm not talking about the things you can control, like your attitude. And the time you arrive at church. I'm not talking about the things you can control. Like your diet and your exercise. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things in life that you really have no control over, but the control tells you, don't surrender that to God. Because you'll be better off if you actually control the narrative, manipulate, like to just make it work. I'm here to tell you today, no matter how you plan, organize, manipulate, wrangle it, have all the strategic conversations, surrender all of your life to Him. Surrender it. Because no matter what you try and do in your own strength, it will never compare to the fruitfulness and the blessing that comes when you build an altar. Genesis chapter 22, after all said and done. Abraham, don't do it. All the whole thing, right? Here's a lamb by the thicket, all that sort of stuff. I love this conversation. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear or reverence God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. If God were to behold your life at the end of 2026, would He conclude, now I know Kevin reverences me. Now I know James surrenders to me. Now I know. What would He know about you? If God were to behold your life now on the last Sunday of 2025, what would He conclude that you did on the last Sunday of 2024? Did you build an altar? Getting real quiet now. I want to leave you with this one thought. Everything that God has in store for you by faith in 2026, I applaud you, I stand with you, but my prayer for you is that right now, on the last Sunday of 2025, across all the locations that are watching me right now and online as you're watching it throughout the week, don't finish this year holding on to your Isaac, reluctant to build an altar. Because I think, I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a church that's surrendered so that God can truly entrust us with all of the things that He wants to fulfill in our lives. But we got to build altars before we build cots. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? Come on, would you stand to your feet right across all the different locations? We finish the account in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 13. It says, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Verse 17, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Everything we're believing for, every good thing, comes from the Father above. But they're all fulfilled, yes, by faith. But the doorway to that life of great faith always starts with great surrender. I want to remind you that before Abraham was a father of faith, he was a man of surrender. I genuinely believe that before the great testimonies flow, and there'll be a lot of them in 2026, I'm believing that prophetically, there's going to be a lot of testimonies of God coming through in people's lives that testify to His goodness, testify to His faithfulness. But before those things flow, my sense in God as I read Scripture is that we got to play our part to build the altar. I want you to consider where your heart is at on this last Sunday of 2025. If the prayer of your heart is, God, I don't want to step into the next few days of the last remaining days of this year without building an altar of surrender, begin to lift your hands if that's you today. Others here, you know what your Isaac is. It's reluctant. I just don't know if I can give up this Isaac. This little thing that I've got going, I don't know. And God is saying, trust me with it, son. The promise is so close to being fulfilled, but you got to trust me with it. You got to put your Isaac on the altar. If that's you, you're going to lift your hands. Wow. Others here, you know God is speaking to you about the control thing. One of the things you find hardest to relinquish is control. You need certainty. You need to have your finger on it. I almost see like a, maybe not a clenched fist for some of you, but you've got like a half open claw hand. It's sort of open, but it's sort of not. And I really see the Holy Spirit coming gently, just opening up that hand so that you can lay that Isaac on the altar. I don't know how we're going to do this today, but we're going to try anyway. On this final service of 2025, I'm wondering if you're genuinely saying, God, I don't want to do 2026 the same way that I did this year. Trying to maintain control, struggling to trust, struggling to surrender, having the sacrifice mindset, thinking that you owe me because I've done this and sacrificed that. God, I want to live my life on the altar. If that is you today, I want you to step out of your seat and come and worship right up the front, and maybe even in the aisles. It really doesn't matter. It's just a physical change to say, God, I want to do this on this last Sunday of the year. You come. Come. This is, I told you this will be one of the most important sermons I'll ever preach, because it sets you up for what 2026 looks like. There are some marriages here you need to come together as a husband and wife. And I know it feels real tight and everything's real crowded. It doesn't matter. Maybe you need to tap some people and say, excuse me, this is for me today. This is really important for me. Come.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.